Bibles. We're coming to the end of our series in the life of Abraham, believing God's promise, and really this being the high point of the story so far. So reading from Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mount of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. As we come to Genesis chapter 22, it's a little bit like watching a movie that you've seen many times before. You know the ending already, and therefore it lacks the suspense that you feel a story like this should have. But actually, the way the story is written, the suspense is taken out of the story at the very beginning. We're told in verse 1 that this is a test. It's as though God is reassuring the reader from the beginning that everything is going to be all right. God does not wish to take Isaac's life. God is not going to fail on his promises to Abraham. Rather, the purpose of this event is to reveal the obedience of Abraham. This act of obedience is unparalleled in the whole of Scripture and results in Abraham being held up in the New Testament as the man of faith, Galatians chapter 3, verse 9. The sacrifice of Isaac was first and foremost an act of faith. The story of Abram began when God called him out of Ur, leaving his country, his people, and his family to go to a land that God promised he would show him. Abraham had stepped out trusting this God about whom he knew very little. But a lot has happened since then. God has clarified what some of these promises are going to look like. God has rescued Abraham from some of his own foolish choices. God has entered into a binding covenant with Abraham. God has personally visited Abraham, speaking to him as a person does with a friend. God has shown himself to be holy in the destruction of Sodom and merciful in the rescue of Lot. This God who calls Abraham to now sacrifice the son of promise is a God Abraham has learnt can be trusted. Earlier we watched that short video clip about Blondin, the tightrope walker. It was one thing to believe that he could take a man across the tightrope in a wheelbarrow. It was another thing to get into the wheelbarrow. Abraham is being called by God to get into the wheelbarrow, to demonstrate by his actions that he believed God's promises. You see, it's not real faith that does not act. There are many people throughout this country of ours today who will attend church services and affirm a belief that Jesus rose again from the dead. But the kind of faith that God calls for is a faith that acts, a faith that trusts him with their lives. When Blondin invited someone into the wheelbarrow, he was asking them to place their lives in his hands. And when Jesus calls us to follow him, he is calling us to give our lives to him that we might do whatever he commands. You see, the Christian life isn't a vague faith in a distant God. It is a call to a life of obedience to Jesus Christ as our risen Lord. It's a call to a life of obedience based on the promises of God. You see, this act of faith on Abraham's part wasn't a blind faith. It was an act of faith based on the promises of God. Let's recall what God has promised to Abraham. He has promised Abraham that he will make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, that he will bring them into the land that he had promised to them, that through his offspring all nations on earth would be blessed, and that it was through Isaac that all of this would come to be. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9 we read this: Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Yes, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but Abraham also knew that God had promised, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could not ask something of him that would prevent God's promises from being fulfilled. Abraham reasoned that if he had to sacrifice Isaac, then God would raise Isaac from the dead so that his promises would be fulfilled. And we get a glimpse of that in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 6 in what Abraham says to his servants, something that we might easily overlook. Abraham says to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will return." You see, Abraham believed that Isaac's life was safe in God's hands because God had promised that the fulfillment of the promises would come through Isaac. It was an act of faith based on the promises of God. And Jesus' obedience to his Father was also an act of faith based on the promises of God. Do you remember the day of Pentecost when Peter got up to speak to the crowds that were assembled? He quoted the words of David from Psalm 16 and tells the crowd that those words were all about Jesus. "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Was that perhaps one of the scriptures that Jesus spoke about with his disciples as they walked on that road to Emmaus? His death upon the cross was an act of faith based on the promises of God his Father, that he would not be abandoned to the grave, that God's Holy One would not see decay, but that he would be raised again from the dead. And the Christian's faith in a future resurrection from the dead is also an act of faith based on the promises of God. That when Jesus comes again, those who have died in Christ will be raised to life with new bodies that will never see decay, so as to enjoy life that will never end on a new earth where God himself dwells among his people. That's the hope that we have because of this Easter day. Abraham had learned that this God could be trusted, and Abram's actions reveal that he trusted God completely. From now on, this place would be called "The Lord Will Provide." For later generations of Israelites, this event reminded them that they owed their very existence to God. No Isaac, no Israel. And because they owed their very existence to God, he would provide for their continual existence. And the same thing is true of us. The death of Jesus reminds us that God has provided for that which was most necessary for us, and that if we have found new life in him, then he will continue to provide for all of the things that we need in this life. God had demanded the sacrifice of Isaac, but God graciously provided a sacrifice in the place of Isaac. We would say that there were no flies on Isaac. As they're walking up the mountain, Isaac turns to Abraham and says, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Aren't we forgetting something? But Abraham answers, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." You know the story. Abraham is about to kill his son. An angel intervenes, revealing that this was what we knew already, only a test. And as Abraham looks up, there is a ram in a thicket caught by the horns. The Lord had provided a sacrifice in the place of Isaac. The image of a lamb dying in the place of Israel continues throughout the whole of the Old Testament, and nowhere more clearly than the sacrifice, the annual sacrifice of the Passover lamb. That annual feast remembered God's rescue from Egypt. When the eldest Egyptian boy in every Egyptian family died in one night, while the Hebrew children lived. In their place, a lamb had been killed and the blood had been placed around the doorpost in obedience to God's command. The lamb had died in the place of Israel. Many Passover meals had passed before a close group of men met in an upper room in Jerusalem to celebrate a Passover meal together. And at that meal, one of them revealed that he was about to be betrayed by one of them and be put to death. His death would be in the place of others for the forgiveness of their sins. He was the one of whom John the Baptist would say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John was baptizing many people at the River Jordan, calling them to turn from their sin. Many people asked John over and over again if he was the Messiah that God had promised. And then one day as Jesus approaches John and the crowds, John shouts out these words, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." How would Jesus do that? He would die in the place of others. He would die for sins he had not committed so that those who did not deserve it could be forgiven. It's interesting that in the final book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, the image of the Lamb is not the same image that we see in the Old Testament prophecies like Isaiah 53, for example. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. All of that is true of the manner of Jesus' death, but that's not the image of the Lamb in the book of Revelation, because the Lamb who was slain is now alive. And through his death, he has won a great victory over sin and the devil and death. The Lamb is seated upon a throne. He reigns, and all things will be placed under his feet. The Lamb who was slain now lives and reigns forever from heaven. This God who has provided for our salvation is a God who can be trusted to continue to provide us with everything that we need. You'll all know that passage in Romans 8 where the Apostle Paul reflects upon the fact that if God gave up his Son for us, he asks, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? If God gives up that which was most precious to him, what would he withhold from us that would be for our good? The devil wants us to have mean thoughts of God, to think that God does not care, that God is not interested, that we don't matter to God. Yet God gave up his Son for our sake. Remember that Jesus encouraged his disciples not to worry, pointing to the birds who don't sow or reap but are provided for by God, pointing to the beauty of nature, saying that even Solomon, clothed with all of the splendor that he had, didn't match the beauty of nature. And then he asks, are you not much more valuable than they? The God who did not withhold his Son for our sake, will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The Lord himself will provide. As we've been looking at the life of Abraham, it's important to realize that this is not just the story of Abraham. This is the story about God blessing all the nations of the earth through Abraham. Listen to the song that is sung to the Lamb in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Through Abraham, God would bring blessing to all the nations of the earth, not just the chosen people of Israel. And yet that blessing would come through Israel, through Abraham's descendant. This lamb who was slain is also called the Lion of Judah, the Root of David. Through Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and later David would come a descendant who would bring blessing to the whole earth. And Abraham understood something of that. Not all of it, but something of that. On one occasion, Jesus confronted some Jewish people of his day who thought that being Jewish was enough to make them right with God. He tells them that if they were children of Abraham, then they would do what Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God's promise. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. What had Abraham seen? Abraham had seen God provide a sacrifice in the place of Isaac and had a foretaste of what was still to come, that God himself would offer up a sacrifice of his own son for the sins of the world. If they had been children of Abraham, they would have done what Abraham did. What did he do? He believed God's promise. And through Abraham's greatest descendant, God's own son, Jesus, that same blessing extends to the nations, to you and to me, that we can share in the blessings of Abraham through believing God's promise and trusting in God's son, Jesus. And by that, I don't mean affirming a belief that Jesus rose from the dead, but rather that by believing that if Jesus died and rose again, that has profound implications for you and me and how we live our lives. That we should turn from our sin, trusting him to forgive us, committing ourselves to follow him, whatever the cost. As Blondin would have said, to get into the wheelbarrow, to show by your actions that you believe God's promise and that you will follow him whatever the cost. Let's pray together.